Parshas Bahaloscha is quite a complicated parsha with a lot of different themes happening throughout the experience of this week's parsha. And one of the most important parts of the parsha is Vayihi ben Sa'a Ha'aron Vayomer Moshe, that very short paragraph that we find, in which the Gemara Masechah Shabbos has a difficulty trying to understand what exactly that is doing in the middle of our parsha. It seems to be completely out of place. So the Gemara says as follows, Tana Rabbanan. Vayihi ben Sa'a Ha'aron Vayomer Moshe. Parsha zu asala HaKadosh Baruch Hu simanios milamala umilamata. It seems that this parsha has special demarcations right before and right after. As we know, you have the nunim hafuchim, you have the upside down nuns that bracket in this parsha, which seems to indicate that it doesn't really belong here. It's out of place and it was put in from somewhere else. Says the Gemara, and from that we learn, lomar she'ein zumakoma. In fact, this really is not where these psukim belong. This paragraph is completely out of place, and it would have been more appropriate for it to have been somewhere completely different. Says the Gemara further, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Asida parsha zu she'tiyakim mikam v'tikase b'mekoma. Lama kasvakan, why is this parsha stuck in the middle of parshas b'ha'aloscha? Kedei lahafsik ben peronios rishona l'peronios hashnia. In order to make a separation between one horrible story and a second terrible story, the Torah wants to go out of its way to give us a little breather in between. So the Gemara tells us that it seems in our parsha there were two very terrible stories that took place, but when you look through the parsha, it's not exactly clear what the two horrible stories actually were. So you look at the Tosas there, Masechah Shabbos, and he says, him and Rashi had a disagreement exactly what is being referred to. Again, this was placed in our parsha in order to separate between one terrible thing the Jewish people did and another horrible thing they did. But what exactly were those two events? Not clear at all. Says Rashi, the terrible event in the beginning was the fact, Shemeaz hischilu lisol basar, that the Jewish people said, we don't want the man anymore, it's time for us to have real meat. We remember what we used to eat in Mitzrayim, Zacharnu asadaga asher rechalnu min Mitzrayim. That's where it all went downhill. That's the first horrible story in the Parsha, says Rashi. And then the horrible story that came after that was the Misonanim, that the Jewish people began to complain. Tosas says that cannot be, because he says, the Medrash says something totally different, and therefore he rejects Rashi's suggestion. And Tosas says the problem was as follows, and this is what I'd like to focus on. Tosas says, the first mistake of the Jewish people in this week's Parsha was Shenasu mehar Sinai derech shloshes yamim, that the Jewish people, after experiencing Har Sinai, started to continue on their journey toward Eretz Yisrael. Kitino kayotzi mi beis haSefer shabareach lo vaholech lo kach hayubarchem mehar Sinai derech shloshes yamim. Like children, when you tell them the bell rings, all the kids are right out immediately after the period is over. Everybody's out of the classroom. Says Tosfos, that's the problem that happened here. The Jewish people came to Har Sinai, and immediately they start running away. Kitino kabareach mi beis haSefer. That is the story that is described in this week's Parsha, as Tosas quotes in the name of the Medrash. And I saw in the Sefer of Rav Schwab on Chumash, where he comments on this, what is so terrible about leaving Har Sinai? After all, the story of Har Sinai had to come to an end at some point. They weren't going to stay at Har Sinai forever. So after the Jewish people left Har Sinai, it was time for them to move on. It was time to start traveling. What exactly was the problem that was found in the fact that the Jewish people continued to travel and did not wait around by Har Sinai a little bit longer? And Rav Schwab suggests that perhaps the problem here was that the Jewish people had a mindset that was not appropriate at all. The Jewish people felt, we just had the greatest experience any human being has ever had. God Himself revealed His presence to us. God communicated with us. We saw that which is normally heard. We heard which is normally seen. The psukim try to describe exactly what that means. We don't really understand it. But Har Sinai was the greatest event of Jewish history. And the Jewish people at that point felt, we've made it to the top. What more can we possibly have in a relationship with God more profoundly than what we just experienced? And therefore the Jewish people said, that's it. We made it. There's no more to grow. There's nothing more to do. And they walked away from the experience saying, we are finished. Says Rav Schwab, that is the worst thing for a Jew to ever feel. Doesn't matter how much you accomplish. Doesn't matter how close you get with God. Doesn't matter how much you repair your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself, and you feel you're so close with Him, there's always more that a person can grow in their relationship with Him. It can always become deeper. It can always become stronger. And that was the problem. The Jewish people walked away immediately from that experience and said, we have nowhere that we can go from here. There's nothing more that we can do. We may as well just leave it all behind, because there's nothing that will ever match this experience. And that, says Rav Schwab, was the major mistake that the Jewish people made on that experience. And writes another one of the Darshanim that perhaps this is the meaning of why in our parsha specifically we put Vayihi ben Soa Ha'aron as the separation between the two stories of the Misonanim and of the running away from Har Sinai, because perhaps the reason why is because we want to teach each other that Vayihi ben Soa Ha'aron, the Aron HaKodesh itself, is always on the move. A Jewish person always has to understand, my perspective always has to change, my relationship with God is always in flux, it's always moving. And therefore we take this parsha, Vayihi ben Soa Ha'aron, that the Aron itself, the Torah itself, continues to move, because that is the way our perspective always needs to be throughout life. If you look in the Psukim, whenever we describe Yehoshua ben Nun, he was a very accomplished Talmud Chacham, he was a very inspirational leader, he was a wonderful person, but yet the Psukim describe him as a bachur and as a nar, as the Pasuk says, Vayan Yehoshua ben Nun misharis nosha mibachu rav. Why do we refer to him as a nar and as a bachur, as a young child? Because that was always his perspective on life. He considered himself like a young child who was inquisitive, who was interested, who always wanted to grow, who always wanted to learn, who always felt he had more to accomplish and more to aspire toward in his life. He was not a finished product. And that's what was great about Yehoshua ben Nun. He was obviously the star disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu. He probably was the one who had taken in as much as one can possibly get from Moshe Rabbeinu, but yet he always saw himself as a child. He always saw himself as a nar, as a bachur. And this is why, also, on top of the Aron HaKodesh, on top of the Luchos HaBris and the Beis HaMikdash, we know there were two kruvim, two childlike figures on top. Why? Because our perspective toward Torah always needs to be one of children, which is always inquisitive, always understanding that there's more that we can progress, more that we can grow, and more that we have the ability to develop. We all know the famous pasuk in the Navi Zechariah. We read it in the Haftorah for Parshas, for Shabbos Chanukah every year. V'nasati lecha mahalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ela. And many Mefarshim have explained that there is a major distinction between the life and the experience of a malach and the life and the experience of a human being. We know that malachim are stagnant. Malachim are still. They're stationary beings. They're given one assignment, and they are one-dimensional creatures. The Ribbono Shel Olam asked them to do one thing. They have no bechira to decide to do it better, to do it worse, to do it faster, to do it slower. They do it exactly the way they are instructed to do it. Human beings are referred to as mehalchim. We are people who have the ability to progress. We have the ability to reposition ourselves and to challenge that which we once thought to be the right way of life, to always reconsider that and to refocus our attention, to understand that there's always more that we can get out of life. We're multidimensional. That's the experience of a human being, and that's the great talent of a human being, to always be able to have that ability to refocus our attention and understand that we are multifaceted in so many different ways. That's what it means to be a mahalach. And Parshas Achrimos, as we know, the Torah starts off and it says, "As mishpatai ta'asu ve'aschukosai tishmeru laleches bahem ani Hashem Elokeichem." What does it mean, laleches bahem ani Hashem Elokeichem? Writes the Ksav Sofer, who is the great son of the Chasam Sofer. He suggests what it means is we have an obligation to walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to follow His laws, to follow everything that He expects us to do, to accomplish all that He wants us to do in life. But part of our obligation is always to remember, laleches bahem ani Hashem Elokeichem. You always have to be walking. A person always has to be on the move. A person always has to understand that my relationship with God can be something more powerful, more potent, more strong. That's something that we always have the ability as human beings to accomplish. And that's what it means in this week's parsha when we say as well, Vayihi b'nesoa ha'aron. The aron was always in flux. The aron was always moving. And that was the tremendous mistake that the Jewish people made on the occasion, like Tosas writes, when they ran away from Har Sinai because they felt, we've reached the top and there's nothing more we can do. There's nothing more that we can ever accomplish. We cannot reach greater heights. And therefore they gave up on the experience of what it means to have a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Parsha Shmini, the Torah tells us, Vayomer Moshe, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem Ta'asu. After all of the construction of the Mishkan was put together, Moshe Rabbeinu gets up and he says, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem Ta'asu. This is what God has instructed that you, the Jewish people, collectively should do. V'yeira Aleichem Kivod Hashem. And if you follow all these rules and you do everything that I've outlined for you to do, V'yeira Aleichem Kivod Hashem, then God will rest His presence on this beautiful edifice. So Rashi writes there that this pasuk was said in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which was the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. That's when the construction of the Mishkan was finished. And Rashi comments there that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem Ta'asu, I'm sorry, not Rashi, the Targum Yonasan writes there, Zeh HaDavar Taviras Yetzer HaMilibchem. This is what you should do, And don't get caught with the Yetzer Hara. V'al yidei kach yizgale b'fneichem kivod Hashem. What Yetzer Hara is Moshe Rabbeinu talking about? What does he mean? You just finished building the Mishkan. We've just dedicated ourselves for months and months trying to collect everything that we needed and to give all of our energy and all of our attention, all of our focus to the service of God Himself to build this beautiful Mishkan that He wanted us to build. That's what we were all focusing on. What is the Yetzer Hara that we're concerned about? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu get up on this occasion and he warns us about the Yetzer Hara? Don't fall into the Yetzer Hara. What Yetzer Hara? What's he referring to? And I once saw, perhaps the answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu understood. It's very easy for a Jew to be involved in building the Mishkan and to be so excited about it and to understand that this is the way we're going to have God's presence in our world. We get it. But what happens the next day? What happens after that's all over? Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't lose the opportunity to be on that high and to understand that you can always build on that high. The Yetzer Hara right now that you are going to be faced with is, you're going to say to yourself, I've brought God into this world. I've made such a profound relationship with Him. There's no more that I can grow. There's nothing more that I can do. Moshe Rabbeinu says, beware of that Yetzer Hara because it's a very powerful one. It's a dangerous one, and so often we fall into it. You celebrate a Shavuos, you celebrate a time of Zman Matan Torosenu, and you say to yourself, I've reached the pinnacle, I've married God once again, I've accepted His Torah with love once again and dedication. What am I going to do now? The answer is, always build on that, because there's always more to grow. And perhaps this is what we mean when we say every day in our davening, V'hasir Satan Milfanenu, Ume Acharenu. I think in the Sefer Otzer HaTfilos they suggest, one of the commentaries writes, V'hasir Satan Milfanenu means God should take away the Yetzer Hara, the inclination that sometimes leads us to stir away, to steer away from the mitzvah that we're about to do. That's milfanenu. But there's also a Yetzer Hara me acharenu. After we have performed the mitzvah, after we have perfected ourselves, after we have reached a madrega, a great level of connection with God Himself, we ask God, Hasar Satan me acharenu also. Take away that evil inclination that makes us feel that we've done it all and there's nothing more we can do and God is happy with us. Of course God's happy with us, but He can always be happier. There's always more that we can accomplish. There's more that we can think about. One of the beautiful insights of the Shemi Shmuel, who is the son of the Avnei Nezer, in Parshas Vayikra, he has a comment which always struck me as being such a beautiful idea, where he says, at the very end of days, we know that the Navi tells us God is going to appear to the Jewish people and He's going to say that He loves us so much. Why does He love us so much at the end of days? If I were God, if I were the Navi, which I'm not, but if I were, I would have said, I have thousands, millions of reasons why I would love the Jewish people after this bitter exile, after all we've been through, and we still hung on for the ride. But what does the Navi say? God says, I love you so much because I remember what happened back in the days when we were coming out of Egypt. You were willing to follow after me in a land which was unknown to you. You went after me in the desert and you followed with full faith. And therefore God says, I love you forever for that. Now ask the Shemi Shmuel, really? Is that really the reason why God should love us so much? His profound love should be only because of that? First of all, he writes, did we have any option after we came out of Mitzrayim? We were faced with a desert. God says to us, either you can follow me and I'll show you how to get there, or you can be on your own. So writes the Shemi Shmuel, what choice did we have? Why are we so beloved for following in the way of God when He told us, when He instructed us to follow Him in the desert? We had no other option. And secondly, he says, have we not done things that are so much greater than that? Have we not lived through a Holocaust and so many people came out of that stronger and keeping to their amunah and doing so much to build Yiddishkeit after we've destroyed everything in Germany and in Poland, everything that we went through and all the inquisitions and everything else we've been through throughout our very long exile, all this crazy history that we've been through as a people? Is this the most profound lesson that God can say He loves us because Lechtech Acharei Bamidbar, writes the Shemi Shmuel, perhaps what it means is the following. God says, you went through an experience on the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf. That was the most amazing experience that you've had as a people. Biyad Chazaka of Izra Natuya, you saw God's hand more profoundly outstretched than anyone had ever experienced it. Masharasa Shivcha Layam, the Gemara tells us, what even the simplest person experienced on the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the greatest Nevi'im never saw such a thing. And the Jewish people had the option at that time to say, we've made it. We got to a place where we have a relationship with God, where we understand Him, and there's no more room for us to grow in our relationship with Him. God says, the reason I love you is because every time throughout history when you had such an experience, you were willing to say, Lechtech acharei bamidbar. I'm still going to walk with God. I'm still going to progress in my relationship with Him. I'm still going to be a mahalech because there's more than I can understand of Him. There's closer relationships with Him that I'd like to develop. And therefore writes the Shem Yishmael, God says, I love you not because you followed after me in the Midbar because you had no other place to go. I love you because that's the metaphor to make people understand that that's the way the Jewish people always think. We are always willing to continue walking, to continue having more profound and more deep relationships with God Himself. And we are always willing to reposition ourselves as mahalchim, as human beings who are always willing to grow and to progress and to move further toward our journey. That is why the Ribbono Shel Olam at the end of day says, Zacharti la chesed nu'urayach. I remember that throughout history, this is always the way your perspective has been. And for that, God says, I am proud of you forever, and I love you forever.